This is an iHeart podcast.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Gets you 10% off. Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com, Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. There is one necessary, absolutely necessary ingredient for a nation to prosper and to continue being a nation, and we don't have it. You want to know what that ingredient is? I will tell you in just a second on I'm Right.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
President John F. Kennedy, Democrat. John F. Kennedy, a veteran, decorated veteran, fought for this country. Talked all the time. About the greatness of America. Before I get into John Kerry and what he did and why he did it and all these other things, I do want to take a moment and look back at our country, look back at other countries, look back at tribes and nations and things like that. And there is one thing that the successful, prosperous ones all had in common, because they're all so different, right? Different religions. Different forms of government, different this, different that. But the successful ones, at least while they were successful, universally all had one thing in common. You know what that one thing was? Patriotism. It sounds almost hokey, right? Now, you're watching my show. The chances that you love America, have an American flag t-shirt, an American flag waving in your yard are probably pretty high. You go out there on the 4th of July, you cover your heart for the national anthem, and maybe, like me, you occasionally get a little misty when the national anthem's playing. But I know I may be preaching to the choir here when I'm talking to you, but understand this. Having a love and appreciation for your country, for the country in which you reside, whatever that country may be, it is critical for that nation to continue. Why is that? Well, think about this. We all go through life, and once you get older especially, maybe not when you're younger, but once you get older, you get a sense of duty to something. Now, I have the best job in the history of the world. I come sit down in a chair and talk to you about stuff that I'm passionate about for an hour a night. It's not like I work for a living anymore now. I've had a bunch of bad jobs. This ain't one of them. But You think I don't have days where I wake up and I don't feel like going to work? I think I'd rather sit here and watch some TV. I got a good documentary. Downloaded a new one last night. I don't want to go into it, but there are days like that for me too, right? Well, why do I do it? Because I feel an obligation to the first. I feel an obligation to you. I love the company I work for. I love my audience. I mean, shoot, beyond that, I love my family. I need to keep working. I have bills to pay. Same reason you get up, go to work every single day. You mothers out there, why do you take care of your kids? Pat them on the rear end, change their diapers, make their lunch, things like that. Why? You feel an obligation for them. You love them. The same thing applies to a nation. You, when you love your nation, or this boils down to tribes, a tiny tribe somewhere. When you love it, you feel an obligation to it. It creates in you a sense of duty, a sense of, I have to do this. This is what's best for this place. I appreciate this place. I appreciate the safety and prosperity that living here gives me. And therefore, I need to do what's best for it. That's what it creates in you. However, if you hate it, you don't feel that. You don't feel that at all. You ever, especially when you were younger, or maybe you're here now, you ever have a job you despise? Maybe your boss was a huge jerk. Maybe the work itself was terrible. Who knows? Did you feel an obligation to stay, a duty to stay? Did you make sure you showed up early and left late every single day? No, you didn't, because it took away that feeling of obligation. Why are we currently in the situation we are in the United States of America? Because we don't have a sense of patriotism anymore as a whole. I know you do. I'm not talking to you personally. As a nation, half the country hates the place. I'll have people all the time. I'll talk about the greatness of America. I was talking about it earlier today when I mentioned Tulsi Gabbard. And I said, with the exception of Tulsi Gabbard, name me one Democrat, one, who talks about the greatness of America. Not the old ones. I'm talking about one national Democrat who would echo those words you just heard from John F. Kennedy. Name me one. You can't. I did not get one answer, because there isn't one. I always said during the Democrat primary for president, if you really want to stump the candidates, it's the what would you ask them if you had a chance? I always had the answer. I said, tell me what you love about America. Stand up there talking to the Democrat base amongst your fellow Democrats and tell me what you love about America. And if you can't do that, what does that tell you? And understand this. I know we're all in different situations in every life, no matter what nation, no matter what religion, what color, whatever, every life comes with hardship. That's part of the human condition. You are born, you go through hard stuff, and you die. That's how life is. So I'm not saying you don't have problems. Maybe you're out of work. Maybe the old lady left you. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. Maybe you're, that's fine. People go through things, that's fine. But here's a fact. I know we have some international viewers, but this is for the Americans. Here's a fact. If you're sitting there right now watching me, you're 20 to 30 feet, maybe, away from an endless supply of clean drinking water. You know that over 1.5 million people die every single year from lower intestinal diseases because they don't have access to one glass of clean drinking water? You have an endless supply of it. I have two of these sitting beside me right now. I could just pour them on the floor and go get 20 more if I feel like it. And the average American will never show any appreciation for that now. That's why we're in trouble. That's why we're in trouble, because patriotism is not some hokey thing. Oh, here we go, America again. It's a necessary thing. If you don't have the majority of the population feeling like they have an obligation to the nation that has given them so much, first comes the appreciation for the nation, and from that comes an obligation for the nation. If they don't feel an obligation to that nation, if they hate that nation, well, then the end is already coming. It's only a matter of time. I woke up today and I saw this new controversy with John Kerry. And what is the controversy? Well, here's a quote from the New York Times. Former Secretary of State John Kerry informed him, him being an Iranian, that Israel had attacked Iranian interests in Syria at least 200 times to his astonishment, Mr. Zarif said. Okay, so what happened? JFK got with an Iranian, Mr. Zarif, big high-ranking Iranian dude, doesn't matter who he is, and divulged information about one of, if not our biggest ally in the world. And everybody today is outraged, right? And I'll play you some of the outrage in a second. Everyone's freaking out. Well, how can he do that? That's treason. What is, this is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't make any sense to you because you haven't accepted reality. A hard reality to accept, I admit, but you haven't accepted reality. But you and I, we have an obligation to live here in the real world, not the world we want to exist, not the world that used to exist. We have an obligation to exist in this one. Otherwise, we have no idea how to proceed. If we don't know where we are, we don't know where we have to go. And here's the world in which we exist now. Democrats are constantly caught siding with America's enemies and against our friends because Democrats feel the same way about America that our enemies do. Why are we so buddy-buddy with China all the time? We Democrats feel the same way about America that China does. Why are we buddies with Iran all the time and screwing over Israel? We feel the same way about America that Iran does. It's not more complicated than that. Our Democratic Party, in fact, our entire system now, our athletes, actors, entertainers, our teachers, our churches, working its way through the military, the entire system now, it's all run by people who think this country kind of sucks and deserves to be brought down a peg or two. You do realize that high-ranking officials in China are constantly going on television repeating Democrat talking points about America. Think about that. Our number one enemy on the world stage. Where do they go to find out how to really get at us and tell everybody how much America sucks? They go to the Democrat Party for all the ammo they need. And that's why we're in trouble. And it's not a mystery of how we got here. We have an entirely un-American education system for K through 12, and then even our elite universities, especially our elite universities, are flat out anti-American. We send our young people off to schools for 7-8 hours a day where they learn to hate their own country. And now they're adults. They're not just in their 20s anymore. They're in their 40s, 50s, corporate boardrooms, CEOs, senators, professors. They're out there leading all the cultural institutions, and they hate this place. Why are Democrats constantly being caught doing things like this? Because the modern-day Democratic Party is anti-American. They hate us. The JFK Party is gone. And that's very, very hard for people like you and I to accept because, I'll be honest with you, you hear me trash the GOP all the time for being weak and pathetic, and of course they are. I would love the option to vote for a Democrat. I don't need to agree with everybody on every issue. I'm not that way. I'd love the option to vote for JFK. I don't have the option to vote for a Democrat now because I won't vote for somebody who thinks my country sucks. I will not. GOP, of course, had a response.
If this is true, I certainly hope other members of this body, Democrats and Republicans, will join me in calling for the resignation of John Kerry. Enough is enough. The red line that was crossed, if this is true, revealing secret information to one of America's most sworn enemies with the blood of thousands of American military members on its hands, undermining the interests of one of our most important allies, the state of Israel. If this is true, John Kerry needs to go. He should resign, or he should get fired by the President of the United States.
He won't. Former CIA Director and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had this to say: Secretary Kerry, can you please explain to the American people why you disclosed information about Israeli operations to Iranian FM Zarif? We've known for years you were helping him. Americans deserve to know why. John Kerry obviously knows this doesn't look great, came out, had this to say: I can tell you that this story and these allegations are unequivocally false. This never happened, either when I was Secretary of State or since. Well, I mean, obviously, if somebody within your own administration comes out and we have these revelations about how anti-American he is, surely the President of the United States is about ready to give him the axe, right? Well, here's what the White House had to say.
Does the President have any comment or reaction to Kerry telling the Iranians about covert military action on the part of Israel?
We're not going to comment on leaked tapes.
Not going to comment on leaked tapes. And remember, this wasn't some right-wing outlet. This is... Oh, yeah, that says the New York Times right there. This was the New York Times who said this. And you remember, Donald Trump was always out there. He was always out there revealing little tidbits that he knew or little tidbits that he heard, and we didn't pay enough attention to it. Trump told us this.
What I'd like to see with Iran, I'd like to see them call me. You know, John Kerry speaks to him a lot. John Kerry tells them not to call. That's a violation of the Logan Act. And frankly, he should be prosecuted on that. But my people don't want to do anything that's... Only the Democrats do that kind of stuff. You know, if it were the opposite way, they'd prosecute him under the Logan Act. But John Kerry violated the Logan Act. He's talking to Iran and has many meetings and many phone calls, and he's telling them what to do. That is a total violation of the Logan Act.
It is. That was from May 2019. He was always telling us what they were doing, the real inside scoop. He always knew this is the worst kept secret in Washington, D.C., that John Kerry openly works with America's enemies. Of course, like he said, we didn't do anything about that. We always have to look polite, right? You see, Democrats play this game to win. Republicans play this game to look nice. They hate America. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, maybe they're animal smells, maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? Usually my drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, 3 olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink, the guys come in, I'm gonna go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
And here's something else that's going to make you uncomfortable. Trillion. trillions of dollars of unbacked money. That's what we've done in just the last few years. Just the last few years. Look, we were in a debt crisis prior to this COVID insanity. Now, we've spent money like we've never seen before, and all the Democrat plans going forward, they're all spending more than we've spent before. There are laws in economics. One of those laws is you print unbacked currency like that, you are going to devalue your dollar. Do you know what happens to gold when the price of the, when the value of the dollar goes like this? The value of gold goes like this. Call Patriot Gold Group now. They have promised me. I talked to them. They have promised me they will take good care of my viewers. Call Patriot Gold Group and just get information. It's all free. Call and get information. 866-943-0626, 866-943-0626. We'll be back. You know something about me. You watch the show every single night. I know you do. Every single minute. You probably watch this two or three times a night, and who can blame you for that? And I know because you watch so much, you know how truly and deeply humble I am. You know that I would never, ever, ever want the spotlight to be on me, obviously. But you also do remember, because you have a great memory, you do remember when every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the media pundit world was saying Andrew Cuomo was going to resign, right? I mean, he just murdered like 15,000 citizens in New York, and then every single woman on the face of the planet has apparently been sexually harassed by him. And everybody came out there and said to you, he's going down. Andrew Cuomo's going down. Well, here's his press conference.
Yes or no, did you do the things you were accused of?
No. No, and that's why I said when people suggested... put it very simply, no. The report can't say anything different because I didn't do anything wrong.
I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. I fought for, and I believe, a woman has the right to come forward and express her opinion express issues and concerns that she has. But it's just not true.
Okay. Well, do you want to know what his punishment has been? This is from Breitbart. Biden has Andrew Cuomo lead the White House COVID calls with the other governors. That's right. The man who is responsible for the death of thousands of New York seniors with his policies and then covering it up after the fact so the feds won't find out about it. The hammer has dropped on him and now he's leading the calls with the other governors. You can't even make this stuff up. But it should be noted, while everyone else was telling you that Andrew Cuomo was going down and he's gonna resign, it's over for him. It's painful to watch it end this way. I came on the television and told you this. Andrew Cuomo is not going down for this. I know that's the popular take right now. Everybody and their brothers out there telling you Andrew Cuomo's going down. This is the end. Oh, I can feel it. Oh, there's so much. You know about politics, right? He's going to lawyer up and already has with the best lawyers out there. He's going to weather this storm because his name is Andrew freaking Cuomo. Do not get your hopes up again. Do not ever do that again. Oh, sorry, I didn't know we were back on the air. I was just enjoying that. Told you so. Told you so. All right. Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney is, if they have a dictionary definition of inside the bubble thinking, it should just be a picture of Liz Cheney because this came out yesterday on My Life. On My Life, this is real. I swear, I had to look it up three times to make sure this wasn't some parody website or something. Liz Cheney not rolling out 2024 presidential run. I'm not ruling anything in or out, is her quote. Ever is a long time, she told the Post whenever, or when asked if she would ever consider running in the future. Okay, I'm not going to take this opportunity and do what everyone thinks I'm going to do, and that's tear Liz Cheney apart. I will simply say this. This is the danger when you're a wealthy or powerful person. What happens is, see, you and I, we have to have criticism. We have to endure it. Maybe it's your boss, maybe it's your husband, wife, kids, friends, whatever. We have to endure criticism. That's part of life. It's healthy. It's healthy. Jesse, you're getting too fat. Jesse, are you wearing that? Jesse, the show sucked today. Jesse, that's normal. But when you get to a position of wealth and power, especially when you have both of them, as Liz Cheney does, the truth is simply this. You never have to have somebody in your circle who tells you the truth, who tells you the bad things about you. Liz Cheney genuinely has no idea that she probably wouldn't get 1% of the vote in a Republican primary. Why? Because Liz Cheney has surrounded herself with yes men. Oh, absolutely, Liz. The country's ripe for Liz Cheney. Gosh. All right, get out of your bubble. They are all wrong. I'm right. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off. Jake's Mint Chew. Jake's Mint Chew is the way you're going to be able to quit dipping. It is the way you're going to be able to quit dipping. Because I know what you go through, because I dipped for years. When you dip, you get in a routine. My routine was post-meals. Now, I had dips at other times too, but post-meal, guaranteed, I need to have a dip in. So when I was trying to quit, I needed something. Bubble gum ain't going to cut it. A nicotine patch, I can't stuff it in my lip. I needed something. That's what Jake's Mint Chew does for you. It allows you to keep your routine. Only Jake's Mint Chew is nicotine-free. It's tobacco-free. It's even sugar-free. It is the way to keep your routine and quit dipping. It works. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That's J-E-S-S-E for 20% off. We'll be back. We talk about enough bad news on this show, right? And it's not like we're hurting for bad news out there. We're just drowning in it every day. I get with my production team every morning and we're just sifting through the, well, this sucks. And I guess that kind of sucks too. Which thing should we talk about that sucks? This is good news. Don't you want to smile for once? Joining me now, the man is Randy Economy. He's the official media spokesperson for Recall Gavin 2020. Randy, I give you the floor. Please just drown me in good news right now. Tell me what's happening to Gavin Newsom.
Well, we're gonna kick him out of office, and it's because of the people. And I have the greatest job in America right now to be able to be the official spokesperson, the senior advisor to the revolution that is taking back California. And yesterday we were given the news that we have crossed the finish line and we're gonna have an election that is going to be all about the people and the grievances and the gripes we have with this crazy governor, Gavin Newsom.
Okay, Randy, I need you to do something that's gonna be very, very easy for you. Okay. I need you to pretend that I'm an idiot, all and right. I need you to walk me through the recall process from start to finish and tell me what any of that means.
Well, what'll happen is if you wanna be governor of California, you'll have to come up with $4,000 and you'll have to fill out a a piece of paper from your local registrar of voters office and maybe get a few signatures along the way and pay the filing fee, and you will be on the ballot in the fall election, and the voters will be given two questions. On the first question will be, shall Gavin Newsom be recalled and removed from office immediately? And of course, we say the answer is yes. And then you go to the second question and say, who shall replace him for the remainder of his term, which will expire in January of 2023? And the person who gets the most votes will become the governor within 15 days. It's that simple.
Okay, Randy, that is extremely simple. Is this divided by party? And if I'm a Californian and I walk in, and am I going to see right there on the ballot, this person's a Republican, this person's a Democrat? Is it just a bunch of names? What is it?
It'll be a random order of, it won't be an alphabetical order. We'll go ahead and do a random draw of who gets placed in what particular congressional district on from A to Z, so to speak. And yes or nay, their party affiliation will be put on the ballot along with their ballot designation, which they have three words to be able to use. So the one who gets the top vote will win. But again, the first question has to pass, and it has to pass by a simple majority of 50% plus one vote.
Okay, you mentioned at the beginning of this whole thing our grievances with Gavin Newsom. Obviously, I hate his freaking guts, and I have a long list, but I want to know what Californians, what their problem with their governor is.
It's personal. He took it upon himself to be the focal point of the pandemic for the past year. But prior to then, it was his mismanagement of the forest fires that we had. It was the mismanagement within the Employment Development Division. It was the mismanagement of the fact that he, in our prison system, he decided to let out every particular, he did early release for as many inmates as he could as possible. And a lot of those inmates actually were trained professionals within, working on fire crews. And that's why California went ablaze. It's because of mismanagement of our forests, and it's mismanagement of what Gavin Newsom did to try to go ahead and release those inmates. And so we lost a lot of our built-in people to help us out on the chain gang, so to speak, to help prevent forest fires. And forest fires every year are devastating, and they cost billions and billions of dollars of damage, and that's real money that has to come out of somebody's pocket. So it's just been a calamity of errors that he has had. He's become a national joke. He is the butt of comedy skits now on shows like Saturday Night Live and other news programs throughout the country. And we want a governor who's going to be, we want a governor who actually goes to his office every day to actually figure out the problems of how to fix the fifth largest economy in the world, which he has shut down for this virus for the past year. He is his own worst enemy. He has lied to us over and over and over again. He's not done any, and he got caught at the French Laundry, which is the biggest, most expensive restaurant, not only in California, but probably the country. He's done this, and he's done it, and he done it, and he continues to do it. Now he's going to be held accountable, and wait for here comes the allegations that we're right-wing extremists, and we're QAnon believers, and we're Proud Boys, and no, we're not. We're Californians who have a gripe with this governor, and we're going to do everything we can now to get him out of office.
Randy, before I get to the rest of this stuff, okay, the California wildfire thing actually is something that America is aware of, because it seems like it's every 15 minutes. I know it's not, but it seems like it's a lot that California has these terrible wildfires. And California, I know a lot of people hate it, is just so stunningly beautiful. If you haven't been there, I would suggest you go. Of course, then you should move out right away. But why? Explain why. How did he mismanage it? Why is California constantly struggling with this?
Because he refuses to, he refuses to thin the forest. He refuses to do any type of management to clear brush. He just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand how to govern. And he relies upon people who really aren't the sharpest tools in the shed, so to speak. And so it's just his lack of incompetency. And sometimes in politics, you know, if you want to become a governor or a president, you better have some moxie, and you better have some stuff in your not only in your life but in your resume to be able to go ahead and back up what you want to do. And just because you run for office, you get elected, doesn't make you an expert. I understand that. But again, when you become the governor and the leader of the fifth largest economy in the world, you better understand who to surround yourself with. And he's never surrounded himself with anybody of any great caliber.
Randy, I understand, obviously, California is a very, very, very blue state. I get that. But can you explain what kind of power Gavin Newsom has? What kind of power his machine has? And I'm relating that to some place like New York, where Cuomo's practically a mafia godfather. And I mean, you're not going to run Cuomo out no matter how hard you try. Does Newsom have that kind of power structure in place?
He doesn't. And California's not that blue. I call it actually kind of a purple state now. Because of the fact that we know that more than 32-33% of the people who signed our recall petitions are Democrats and declined the states. And that speaks volumes. So this is not a Republican movement. It's not a Republican coup. It's the people's recall. And it's a very personal gripe that we have with this governor. Because again, he's made everything about himself. And I understand that Republicans are at a third party status here in California. It's much bigger than that. We have, voting Democrat every year in California for the last generation or two hasn't gotten us anywhere. And that's not the fault of the Republican Party. It's just the fault that people just assume that if you come to California, you got to be a Democrat. And even people within the Democratic Party are scratching their heads going, we failed. How have we gotten ourselves in this mess? And that's why you see a lot of common sense Democrats, even people like Antonio Villaraigosa, who was a rising star in Democratic politics throughout the country, who was the former mayor of Los Angeles. He's seriously considering wanting to run for this race. And he's wanting to go ahead and help lead the charge against Gavin Newsom. So the party within the Democratic Party is doing a lot of soul searching right now. And the Republican Party in California really, and they have an opportunity here, but this is not about Republicans, a Republican movement. It's a people's movement. And we've been very clear about that. And we kind of have wanted the party to stay in the background. And that's why we have been so successful to be able to get this recall to where it needs to get and get it on the ballot.
I understand that. Randy, economy, believe me when I tell you, man, good luck. Go get them. I appreciate you.
We will, man. I promise. I'll keep you updated, okay?
Please do.
All right.
How about that? Boy, you know, just thinking about this, and I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse here. What if the day comes when I can come on this show one night and say to you, Gavin Newsom's gone? Gosh, that would feel good. All right. Look, if you want to get behind great causes, if you want to get behind great candidates, if you feel the need to do something about what's happening, and I'm assuming that's most of you, if my emails are any indication, good, good. Understand that there are simple, practical, direct ways you can do that. I mean, doing something is just, that's a bumper sticker. There are ways you can do that. One of the ways you can do that is signing up to become a member of Mammoth Nation. I have done this. I'm a lifetime member of Mammoth Nation. You don't have to do that, but you can. I'm a lifetime member because I love it. Look, they go out and find real fighters running for office, real causes. They're out there brawling for this culture war we're in. What do you get out of it? Well, your money you pay goes to those guys, goes to those causes. You get discounts, though, outstanding discounts, more discounts than I could ever list for you at shopping and hotels and telehealth and wireless. And you get something good with your fight back money. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. That's mammothnation.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The state of our union is stronger than ever before.
I will tell you, I try not to have these moments where I come on here and tell you I miss Trump, because I don't like to wave pom-poms for anybody. You really don't generally want to do that. But, man, I really do miss the guy. I miss having a president that talked about how awesome America is. I think it is just so sorely lacking. Joining me now to talk about that and other things is Republican strategist and attorney Amanda Mackey. Amanda, I don't like saying it because it makes you sound like a pom-pom waver, but I miss the dude bad.
I think a lot of people in America are having buyer's remorse right now. Look, the southern border crisis is a disaster. Completely caused, completely manufactured by the Biden administration. He was campaigning on this a year ago about how he's going to be more humanitarian, and look what he's done. We had 3,000 unaccompanied migrant children at the border last March 2020. We're now at almost 18,000 thanks to Joe Biden's failed policies on the southern border.
Amanda, all right, you mentioned buyer's remorse. Why? What part of the Biden administration has been a surprise so far for people? If you paid attention for 5 seconds, this is what he ran on. This is what the Democrat Party is. This is all very predictable. I'm a moron, and I could have wrote all this stuff down before he even took office. Why buyer's remorse?
I think I have always said, and I truly believe, that this election was about COVID. It was a referendum on COVID. And it was who's for COVID, who's against COVID, who doesn't believe in COVID. And that's where largely voters laid their blame. And so I look at it very differently, and I think a lot of Americans do, that President Trump actually ushered in through Operation Warp Speed multiple vaccines to come to market and gave the game plan to Joe Biden, who then said, we had nothing. We didn't have any kind of game plan. We had to start from scratch, which was a complete lie. But look, the only area where Joe Biden gets high remarks is on his coronavirus response, at about 69% of Americans believing he did something on that. But I really think that that was all Operation Warp Speed. What the vaccines did that came to market, they were getting into people's arms in December, if you remember, and he just followed through with that.
Amanda, in general, not specifically talking about you or me or anything like that, but in general, I hear this a lot of people had a problem with how Trump handled COVID. Trump didn't handle COVID, right? I don't like how Trump handled COVID. I can't ever seem to get an actual answer, though, on what specifically people didn't like about how Trump handled COVID. I didn't like it because he featured Dr. Fauci and locked down the economy, but I'm like a half percentage of the population. So people disliked something else. What didn't they like?
Well, I think the fact that he didn't choose to wear a mask, he wasn't masked up all the time, I think that sent a message to some people that maybe he didn't care about coronavirus. But the reality is that, for example, Texas, they took their mask mandate down over a month ago. Their numbers have actually gone down. So a lot of this was, you know, perpetuated and created, unfortunately, by some of the people in his own administration, to your point, Dr. Fauci. But what did Dr. Fauci say last year? He said, you don't need to wear a mask. A year ago, he was telling us we don't need to wear a mask. Now he says we need to wear two or three. Most recently, he said, if you're outside, you should be masked up. Today, they're saying you don't need to be masked up. They're all over the map. But I think a lot of Americans just fell in that trap. And now they're seeing there is no clear line with Fauci. He makes it up as he goes. And I think he's largely to blame for what happened with the Trump administration.
Amanda, on to the State of the Union. It's tomorrow night. Just a heads up for everybody. There'll be I'm right tomorrow night.
Congress.
But Buck Sexton and I will be joining you right after the State of the Union tomorrow night to give you analysis. But all right, Amanda. All right, it's no State of the Union apparently. But Joe Biden is supposed to get up there and say something, and America is going to be watching. Obviously, our expectations are pretty low because he's not a functional adult anymore. What are our expectations, though?
Well, I think the backdrop will be two women, Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi, masked up, even though they have both been vaccinated, even though even the CDC guidelines tell us they don't need to wear a mask. That's going to be the backdrop so that the whole time you're thinking, oh, he's such a great president for all he's done on coronavirus. So that's the backdrop. I think he's going to really push his American Families Plan. So this is supposed to be unveiled between today and tomorrow. Another $1.8 trillion massive spending plan with all of the Democrat, progressive Democrats' biggest domestic priorities, like free community college, free, you know, the family leave, paid family leave, pre-K, all the domestic priorities to include, now that we're getting out of a COVID-suppressed economy and people, we actually need people to go back to work. They're going to say, oh, no, we're going to cover subsidies because people can't go back to work yet. So they're going to cover subsidies for your health insurance. And that's another $200 billion they plan on spending there. So it's $200 billion here, $300 billion here, $200 billion here to add up to $1.8 trillion, another massive spending bill they want to promote. I think he's going to talk about his infrastructure plan. I think he's going to talk about gun control. He's going to talk about police brutality, but he will never mention the good work that the police do and our first responders do every day to keep us safe. And I'm willing to bet he's not going to mention that it is important that when you're detained, you don't drive off, you don't run off, you don't do things if you are detained by a police officer that could put you in jeopardy. And so I hope that he talks about those things, but I'm pretty sure he won't. So I think those are the topics that he's going to look to cover. And then, of course, he's going to be talking about all his success with coronavirus.
Amanda, a lot of people may not know, but we have states that lost and gained congressional seats yesterday. California lost one, New York lost one, Illinois lost one, Michigan lost one, Ohio lost one, Pennsylvania lost one, and West Virginia lost one. Texas gained two, Florida one, North Carolina one, Montana one, Colorado one, and Oregon one. You're the Republican strategist. I went to community college. What are these numbers supposed to tell me?
They're supposed to tell that freedom-loving Americans are getting the heck out. They're blue state immigrants now that are coming to states like Florida and Texas. And my hope is that they don't change our politics, because I have said this all along. I said this on, I think it was on Buck's show. I said, Florida is no longer a battleground. It is not. It is solid Republican. And if we have the blue state immigrants coming here, that's going to change the demographics, but hopefully we can hold the line. I think that California is now pivoting to become more like a northeastern state where you have a lot of wealth, but you don't have the technology, the innovation. The innovators are leaving and they're going to Texas. I think you're going to see a domination by the South and the West of businesses flocking to more tax incentivized states like Texas and Florida. And my hope is that the politics don't change, but I'm already seeing shifting in the big cities in Texas for sure.
Amanda, Florida was a very, very, very purple state. And I mean, for most of my adult life, it's been a purple state. Everyone loves Heavy D now. By the way, I do think it's hilarious that Heavy D's been so successful. There's now a Twitter account dedicated just to Democrats whining about it. It's actually really, really funny. But Heavy D's been so successful there. I realize that, and he's been doing a great job. What makes you say it's so solidly red now? He got by Andrew Gillum by, I mean, the crack in a meth pipe.
Well, here's the thing. What Ron DeSantis did was he bet on his people. He bet on Floridians to make the best choices for themselves. And people all across the country saw that and they said, I want someone who's going to believe in me to make the best decision for myself, believe in me to make the best decision for my business. And that's what you see is now happening, is that we have millions coming into Florida because of that very bit of, you know, again, be allowing for people to be enterprising people and to make the best decisions for themselves. You see cities throughout America, Washington, D.C., New York City, still in lockdown, still in complete lockdown. Michigan, too. These are worthless governors and mayors who believe in shutting down their cities because they think that's better than empowering people to make the best decisions for themselves. And the stats show it. Again, as I said, Texas, people are doing just fine. The stats actually came down for coronavirus cases over a month into taking the mask mandate away.
Amanda Mackey, everybody. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Let's hope people own it. Now, I'm not very confident in that, because people, all of us, we don't like to look in the mirror, right? We don't like to look in the mirror and say, hey, your problems are kind of your fault. But I hope we will have a change of heart when you're packing up your family and you're leaving California and you're leaving New York and you're leaving these other states and you're moving down to Florida and Texas and whatnot. I hope you remember why you left when you walk in to vote. Don't go in and do what you've always done. What's that Albert Einstein line? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. All right, time to lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And who better to lighten the mood than Sir Charles? Charles Barkley absolutely takes a cheap shot at the ladies of Georgia.
The floor. Contavious Caldwell-Pope, where do you go to school?
Georgia.
Yes, indeed. Had 29 on the night.
Only school in the world. They named their mascot after the women down there.
Oh, stop it now. It's just so totally uncalled.
Wait, what are they called? Their mascot, the Bulldogs. Oh, I didn't even know that, Ernie.
Totally uncalled.
The Bulldogs.
Not even going to dignify that with a response.
Come on, Ernie.
Look, I will just say, one, that's really, really funny. Two, that has not been my experience. In my experience, Southern women are absolute dimes. So I don't want to back him up on that. But still, having the guts to say that on TV is awesome. We need more of that. More offensive. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.